Welcome to this week's edition of our show called Blind Like Me. It's Phil Park coming into your homes and hoping that, or your cars or wherever you happen to be, hoping everything's well. Herbert Brown is our guest. Sir, how are you today?
I'm fine, sir. How are you?
Well, I'm doing good. It's kind of cloudy and rainy. Looks like we're going to get a little rain. We need it bad here in Texas.
Yeah, I'm here in Virginia, and it's real hot and overcast.
Yeah, so you're in Virginia. What part of Virginia, sir?
About 70 miles south of Richmond, a little town called Skippers, just a little rural hamlet is what it is.
Yeah.
The nearest city that someone would recognize would probably be Petersburg, Virginia.
Petersburg, Virginia.
About 40 miles north of me.
And so you're 70 miles south of Richmond, which everybody knows about Richmond, Virginia,
right.
I suppose. Now, tell us about yourself. Where were you born, and how did you grow up? What school did you go to? Just kind of give us a thing about your earlier days.
Okay, that won't take much time. Let's see. I was born here in Skippers. This is my native home. I went to the normal public school, regular public school, until about fifth grade. I was born with something called congenital glaucoma.
Yeah.
That was what they call a partially sighted kid. And I went to public school for the first 5 years, but my sight began to decline to such a degree that the doctors insisted that I be removed from the public schools because it was putting such a strain on my remaining sight to see the board and, you know,
uh-huh.
regular size. So I was enrolled into the State School for the Blind down in Hampton, Virginia. Now, this was back in 1967. And at that time, you had two state schools for the blind. You had one for the black kids in Hampton, Virginia, and one for the white children in Stanton, Virginia, which is in the western part of the state.
Now, this was in 69?
67.
They were still doing that in 67?
Oh yes, sir. Anyway, my graduating class was in 1975, was the year that they actually combined the schools. They brought all of the blind children to Hampton, and all of the deaf kids went to Stanton, Virginia. So
okay.
at 1975, that was the end of the, in the state of Virginia. But this was more or less in North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, the reason why I know I was in the Wrestling Association, where I wrestled at Virginia, at the Virginia State School for the Blind in Hampton. And we would visit the schools, and this was more or less the same principle throughout a lot of the states that the schools that we interacted with. But anyway, I graduated from the Hampton School in 1975. I went on to college. Incidentally, I became totally blind in 74. I became total. And I graduated in 75, went to the Virginia College at Virginia State there in Petersburg, Virginia. And I majored in political science and psychology.
Uh-huh.
And however, when I graduated in 78, I completed that stretch in 3 years because I went to school all 3 summers and took full loads and all of that. But anyway, in 1978, I was offered a scholarship to Ohio State, where I took them up on it, and I went and got a master's degree in political science. I graduated in 1980 from Ohio State. I came out of school, and no, I didn't. I went back and got some more courses and became certified to teach at the secondary or high school level in the regular public schools.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when my education started. I started off pretty successfully. I got a lot of substitute teaching assignments, but I wanted a regular job, and I started applying all over, and I didn't get a job. So after 3 years of substituting and not getting a regular job. And incidentally, I would run into teachers that were substituting, had started at the same time that I had started, and found out that they had gotten hired. And, you know, and I was applying for jobs all the time. And I became kind of disillusioned with that, and I got involved in the blind stand program where I worked in that program.
Slow down just a little bit. Let's just talk about this. And so that you knew substitute teachers that became substitutes about the same time you did.
Yes, sir.
And they may receive permanent positions, yet you didn't.
That's correct.
Now, do you attribute this to your lack of sight?
That's the only thing I could say.
Yeah.
I even knew some of them that certain schools they wouldn't even go to at all, and they could never say on my record where I ever turned down an assignment.
Yeah.
And these people still got hired.
Yeah.
And there was another blind lady that I met when I was substituting in Columbus, Ohio at the time. She never got hired, and we talked, and we kind of knew that was the case.
Now, nowadays, we, right, wrong, or otherwise, we'd get with American Civil Liberties or somebody and file a little discrimination suit against those people.
Well, I'm going to get to that. But what happened was I went on into the STAND program and enjoyed it. And in 19, I think it was around 96, I did get a job at a private school teaching.
Uh-huh.
So I went back and taught fourth grade at a private religious school and enjoyed it. I worked there about 3 years, and I returned to the STAND program because there wasn't very much money in the private school situation, and it was taking an extremely amount of my time grading papers and all this, even after school hours. So I decided I'd go back in the STAND program, and that's what I did until 1994.
Mm-hmm.
When I went to work for a credit card company for a while, and then I got a job in Washington, D.C., where I worked there, and I went back to school. I went back to school because I wanted to return to Virginia. And I went back and got my course requirements to update my teaching certification and all of this.
Uh-huh.
And I came back here, and I said, well, you know, I've taught. I got experience in a big city. This is a small area, small county. Shouldn't have any problem getting a job there. I came back and got stopped dead in my tracks.
Why?
And, well, I applied for a position immediately when I returned here in the year of 2000, and I talked to the district superintendent, and he told me to get my application, completed application to him. He'd give me an interview. So I got the application to him, and about 2 weeks passed, 3 weeks passed, finally I called him. And I say, Dr. Worrell, W-O-R-E-L-L, Dr. Worrell, what about my interview? I didn't get a call. He said, oh, I hired someone. I said, sir, you promised me anything? Well, I know I promised you an interview, but I had to get that position filled for the upcoming school year, and we just couldn't wait. I said, well, Doc, could you tell me what criteria did you use to evaluate the best candidate? Oh, I hired who I felt most comfortable with. I said, what does that mean, Dr. Worrell? He said, exactly what I said. I hired who I was most comfortable with. So needless to say, I was, you know, fit to be tied. I called my rehab counselor and told him about it. He didn't believe it, so he called this district superintendent. He told him the same story. And I said, well, sir, I work, you know, I told my rehab counselor, I said, I'm not going to take this, man. I worked too hard. I went back to school a whole year to get recertified, and this is what I get in my hometown. So anyway, I filed an EEOC grievance against the school system, and they found the district at fault, and told them to give me a job and give me back pay. And I thought that, you know, this would take care of that. And they refused. We went to court. And the judge sided with the school district. They told the judge and federal district court in Richmond, Virginia, that if they were forced to hire me, a blind teacher, they would also have to be forced to hire an assistant to assist me with my work. And the judge bought that nonsense. And he ruled on it, and there was nothing else, and still nothing else, no one can do because... according to my attorney, he said it's a principle called res judicata, R-A-S-J-U-D-I-C-A. That means a case that has been decided. So in the state of Virginia, I can never approach the federal court anymore if I feel that I'm being discriminated against on the basis of my disability about a school job, school teaching job, which is very pathetic. But I've talked to the Civil Liberties. I've talked to NAACP. Anyone you can name. I've even talked to ACB and NFB. But no one has been able to do anything for me in this situation. So
that's pretty amazing. It's very discouraging because you think these days with the Americans with Disabilities that we've got kind of the upper hand in things like that, but we don't, do we? No, sir.
Not in the state of Virginia.
Well, I mean, it would be the same in any state.
I know, sir. That was a federal judge. It wasn't a state court.
A federal judge.
That did that.
So if they hired you, they'd have to hire an assistant.
This is what the school district argued. They would have to automatically hire an assistant to work with me because, and even they got as ridiculous as saying that I couldn't, because I couldn't see. I couldn't determine whether students were actually accepting or processing the information I'm trying to get across. I mean, their explanation was so juvenile and so antiquated. I couldn't believe that this was in 2000 sitting here in a court.
That a judge actually bought it.
The judge bought it, right? And my attorney even said, "Your Honor, they've had a blind teacher in that district before." They said, "Well, we're not going." I'm going to dismiss this case. And that's what he did. That's after EEOC had already found the school district at fault. And the judge said, "Well, you know, EEOC may have found the school district at fault, but I'm not going to weigh any of their evidence." I couldn't believe it.
You wonder sometimes, you say that the judicial system in this country works, and I guess by and large it does, but what could he have been thinking? I mean, did the school district get to him in some way? You wouldn't think that.
I don't know, sir. It was such a shock. I couldn't believe it. You know, I really couldn't believe that I was hearing what that judge was saying.
And to have no redress whatsoever.
No
remedy, no nothing.
No, sir, not in this state. And my attorney has told me that anywhere in the United States that I go, if I want to go somewhere else and the school district decide not to hire me, they can go back and pull this case up because it's been decided.
So go home, blind boy, and draw your SSI mouth.
That's what they told me, sir. And I've talked to everyone you can name, both of my state U.S. senators, John Glenn, John Warner. And Senator George Allen. I've talked to my representative in Congress, J. Randy Forbes. I've talked to the two governors. No one has done a thing. I've talked to every newspaper outlet you can think of, and nobody wants to report.
And you are finally, at this time, resigned to what's happened.
That's all I can do, sir. Find another line of work.
Yeah, sometimes, they say, as we learn things, stumble through life and try to learn stuff, they say, don't get too upset about something that you can't do anything about, and this is something you can't do a thing about, you know.
That's about the size of it.
Well, it just sounds wrong to me. Maybe we'll get some comments from somebody. My wife is an attorney. I'm going to visit with her about it. I just never heard of you having no... You know, I can see the judge ruling against you. That sort of thing happens all the time.
Right.
But having nowhere to go after that, no appeal, nowhere to, no next level to go to.
Just... Well, let me correct you on that. I did have 30 days to appeal it to the 4th District Court of Appeals.
Did you?
First of all, I didn't have any money. My attorney told me he took the case on, a
contingency.
I got you.
I understand.
He said, "Mr. Brown, it's going to take $6,000 to even get your case on the docket." And he said, "I'm going to be honest with you, sir. The 4th District Court is not going to overrule that judge because they are the most conservative group in the country." He said, "You talk to other lawyers if you don't believe what I'm saying."
Yeah.
But if I'd had the money, I would have pursued it.
But you didn't.
No, I didn't.
And you couldn't find a pro bono lawyer that would help you. You didn't have time.
No, I didn't. But I tried.
Wonderful.
But everybody I call, you know, we've done our pro bono work for the year. That's about it.
Well, that's, you know, the world won't come to an end because that happened, but it's just very strange to me, and that gives me pause for thought. I had no idea that we were in that sort of situation. I thought they talk about the big laws that they passed to give people handicap rights, Americans with disabilities, bull, right?
Right. Yes,
yeah,
sir.
Who knows?
And not only did the district here did it, also the Petersburg Public Schools and the Richmond Public Schools District, they've discriminated against me for the last 6 years.
And so, what are you doing now? I know what you're doing.
I'm trying to do a little writing, freelance and otherwise, and I'm trying to make a living, sir, with the Social Security check.
Yeah.
That's barely keeping me,
keeping you
on this side of the ground.
On this side of the ground, keeping you from that dirt nap.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Do you have a lady and children, or did you?
Yes, I do. I have a. I'm in my second marriage now. I have two grown children living in Columbus, Ohio, and my wife now. She's incidentally, ironically, my wife is a substitute teacher at the local school that wouldn't hire me.
Amazing. Because she has sight.
That's correct.
Sight.
That's correct.
Okay, well, let's get away from subjects that aren't too good. You resigned to that. You're going to live with it, and you're going to survive. I can tell already talking to you.
Yeah, I plan to anyway.
You're a survivor. They'd take a lot more than that to get you down.
Oh, it does, sir.
All right, let's talk about what you're doing now, what you've decided to do. Just give me the story of your decision to do this.
Okay, well, first of all, I assume you're talking about the Association with the Blind.
That's what I want, yeah.
Blind African American.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, basically, it's not my organization. I was informed of the existence of this organization through an email that I get from CVI or something. They call it down in Atlanta, which is some center for the visually impaired. I think that's what they call it. But I get regular emails, and I saw the announcement for this group in that bulletin, and they had phone number and contact information. So I contacted them, and they told me that they were in the process of putting this organization together. And so they asked me that I want to become a part of it. I said, of course, I'd like to become a part of it. And that's how I became involved with it. And this was back in November of last year. Now, in the meantime, we've been talking about finalizing things, getting the structure in place and the bylaws and all of this, which the president, this guy named MacArthur Jarrett, a blind man out of Savannah, Georgia, he's the president, but he's the one that could give you more in-depth information as far as where the organization is actually going, what they're doing, nuts and bolts at this time. And I could give you his contact information if you like.
Well, you had written, I saw this in the Ziegler, and I was impressed with you wrote that the organization existed. You gave phone numbers, P.O. Box, and all that.
Right.
And then you wrote a little synopsis about why you thought this was necessary. Just give us a little overview of what you said there.
Okay, well, basically what I said was at this time, based on what I've just described to you, there's life and then there's life again. We have to look at what has happened to me, unpleasant, but it did happen.
Yeah.
And I know other people that things similar to this has happened to, and we feel that we have to put some kind of a structure together where we could deal with these in a way where we can articulate the kind of frustration for ourselves, since we are catching the hell in this respect. Not saying that other blind people aren't, but I'm saying that these type of things, to me, has to at some point be addressed by the people that they're happening to.
Yeah.
And when I was going through my my travail, I used to be a member of NFB, but That's been some years ago. I did contact them for help, and I couldn't get any, you know, unfortunately. I did contact ACB. I couldn't get any help.
So
I'm just saying that, you know, and I'm not angry at anybody because of that. You know, and I admire, and I think that's what I said in that article. I admire anybody coming together to address things that they think have been wrongly done to them. I admire that. So I'm saying that there should come a time when this idea, we should embrace it. We should realize that this is America. I mean, America is a country where you have a lot of different ethnic persuasions, and a lot of people have realized that, hey, if we want our piece of the pie, you know, in quotation, we have to come together and work for it as a group.
That's right.
And there's nothing wrong with that. And my take on this is, hey, we don't tell anybody because most of the people in this group are members of ACB or NFB. We say, belong to whatever church, auxiliary, whatever political group you want to belong to. We don't tell you you be in that, you can't be in this. We're saying that, hey, understand that, you know, it is our responsibility to dictate our own destiny.
Yeah.
And there's nothing, I don't see anything wrong with that.
Now, just before we get too much further, let's explain, because you and I both know what we're talking about. What we're talking about is an organization for African Americans, primarily focused on their particular issues.
That's correct.
For blind. This is not NFB. This is not ACB. This new one is called what?
Association of Blind African Americans International.
Okay, but you would not tell me that I couldn't join.
No, sir.
No.
No, sir.
You'd be glad to have me.
No,
and I will.
Anyone, sir. Yes, sir. We just want to be clear about what the focus of the organization is going to be.
Uh-huh.
Like, I'm sure you wouldn't tell me I couldn't join ACB.
No.
Someone never told me I couldn't join NFB. So we're saying, that, hey, we want to come together and address the pain that's been inflicted on us, not only because we are blind, but because there's a racial element in this country that we also have to, unpleasant, but we have to deal with that also.
Yes, we do.
And incidentally, the gentleman that taught for this system here was a white man, you know, and he deserved the right to work.
Yeah.
But he worked in this district. But now they're saying that I can't, which I see in that not only. And when he worked in the district over 20 years ago, and you're telling me the advances we got in, we didn't have talking computer programs 20 years ago, but he worked. He was allowed to work in the district, and there was nothing raised about teacher aides working with him, which they got teacher aides working with sighted teachers.
So, you know, I was going to say that if they no matter what teacher they hired, they'd hire an aide for that.
Yes, sir.
Now, I'm not much for mincing words. So you felt like also that this was discriminating because you were blind, but also because you're black.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's exactly what I felt the case was.
Okay, that's where we need to be. And so those are the kinds of issues that this new organization would take on, would look at.
We would have to.
Oh yeah, and I think it's great. Now, how far along are you? What do you? How many members do we have? Do you know where we are?
Right now, we have approximately somewhere in the neighborhood of about 40 members.
Uh-huh. So this is just starting.
Just starting. You're right.
Just getting off the ground.
That is correct.
Is it going to be structured as a nonprofit, or how are they going to? Do you know how they're going to do that?
As far as I know, it's going to be structured as a nonprofit, but I don't want to, you know, mislead anyway.
Okay.
MacArthur Jarrett, the president, he's the one that could answer these questions in a more succinct way than I could.
Well, I don't really, but people that might want to donate some money, you know, if it's nonprofit, then you can take a tax deduction.
As far as I know, it is nonprofit. As far as I know,
have you had a little convention of some kind yet?
No, sir. No, sir. This organization just completed its legal filing paperworks and all of this. This is in December of last year. So we haven't had any type of conventions or anything like that.
I'm not a member. I'm going to join, but I'm not a member. But let me just make one suggestion. Please don't have your convention at the same time ACB and NFB have theirs. Isn't that the dumbest thing?
I totally agree, sir. We're going to try not to do that.
Let's have
because
yours
we want the whole key is to allow people to attend the convention.
Yeah. And it seems, you know, it's just been recently when they've even had theirs on different weeks. They used to have them both on the same week. So you couldn't possibly go
right.
to both.
And I'm sure there are people that want to go to both.
I'm sure there are. That is just foolish. That is just, as far as I'm concerned, ignorant on the part of the leaders of those organizations. They should have them completely separate and encourage me
right.
to go to both.
Right. And that's what we'll try to do is encourage people to come, you know.
Yeah.
And then we're not saying that, hey, you can't belong to this and belong to that. This is a free country.
It is.
We welcome everybody.
Well, okay, let's kind of close with, you're not the president.
No, I'm not.
But you did give this contact number, and you gave some contact information. So let's run through that if anybody wants to contact you or wants to talk about the organization or get a hold of the president or whatever.
Okay, let me give you the president's phone number and email
that?
Address.
Okay.
His phone number is 912-927-6683. 83. His name is MacArthur Jarrett, like General Douglas MacArthur. MacArthur Jarrett. The secretary's phone number is, MacArthur's email address is m.jarrett, J-A-R-E-T-T, 66 at comcast.net.
Okay.
The secretary is Miss Debbie Hill. Her phone number is 404-241-05-26. I'm not totally sure on her email address.
Okay.
But of course, my phone number is 434, area code 434-634-2945. My email address, all lowercase, HEBRWN@Verizon.net.
Okay, that gives you plenty of contact information. MacArthur Jarrett, I hope he doesn't disappoint me. I imagine him as a man with a very big voice.
That's him.
I bet he is. I don't know him, but I've met him. I'm going to call him and talk to him is what I'm going to do.
Okay, that's him. That's him.
You got to be him with a large voice, bigger than life. I love people with that kind of voice.
Yeah, that's him. He reminds me of a Baptist preacher.
I got to talk to him. Listen, you, in spite of all the things that have happened to you, you seem to be a very pleasant, upbeat fellow.
I try to be, sir. I try to be. Hey, look, it's nothing. You're not going to. My mom said you're not going to get many people. You can catch more flies with honey than you can with vinegar. So, hey, you know, bad things happen to all of us in life, but it's no reason to be surly and mean about it.
And when you get right down to it, the only one who gives a damn is you.
That's right. That's right.
When you boil it all down and take it all away, the only one that cares is you. Mr. Brown, I've enjoyed you.
Yeah, I've enjoyed you, sir. I certainly have.
I'm gonna someday, when you least expect it, that phone will ring, and I'll be right down the street. I'm going to come see you. We're going to sit down and visit a minute.
Hey, sir, don't you dare come to Virginia without stopping at my house.
I wouldn't think of it.
If you
have any more information or want to get something out to the public, you give me a call and we'll take care of it. And I'll call you and tell you when this is going to be aired on ACB Radio, sir.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you much, and I'll talk with you.
I have to. Thank you.
Back with more of our show called Blind Like Me in just a minute. Hang on. Serve.
The thing I like the best about the Blind Handyman List, great place to exchange information and gather ideas on anything to do with being a handyman around the house.
I found out how to fix my garbage disposal on the Handyman List. And it worked.
If you'd like to join the Blind Handyman list, send a blank email to blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. That's blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
The thing I like about the Blind Handyman list, I'm the moderator, and I can delete you if I want to. So don't get out of line. Stay on topic.
That's blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. Blind Science. Here's a website our crack research team certifies screen reader friendly. Now, with this week's Blind Science, here's Tim Cummings.
Are you a real old-time radio nut? Well, I have found the perfect site for you. And the best part is it's totally free, especially if you're a blind, visually impaired person. It's called www.fear, that's F as in Frank, E-A-R, youcanhear.com. This site has thousands and thousands of old-time radio shows on the site. What you do is you go to the site, you sign up for free, totally free, as a blind or visually impaired person or person with a disability, and you can download thousands of hours of old-time radio programming or play them at your computer right on the site. They're in MP3 format, everything from Amos and Andy to Johnny Dollar to Box 13 to Lone Ranger, Fibber McGee and Molly, tons and tons of radio shows that'll give you hours and hours of listening pleasure. The site's very easy to navigate. I would give it a screen reader friendliness rating of a 9. The site again is www.fearyoucanhear.com. For Blind Sights, this is Tim Cummings saying, keep on blind sighting.
If you found a screen reader friendly website you'd like us to mention, send your email to blindlikeme, all one word, at txucom.net. And join us again next time for Blind Sights. A trip to Walmart.
I wonder where the pharmacy is. It's somewhere over here. Oh, God, I've got my cane caught in something.
Pardon me, sir. I don't know how to tell you this, but the end of your cane is stuck in my...
Why bother shopping your big discount stores when you can shop from the comfort of your own home at BlindMySmart.com?
Hi, this is Dale Campbell, president of Blind My Smart. If you can't find what you're looking for today, check back tomorrow. We're adding new products every day.
Blind My Smart, with thousands of products at a completely accessible website. Our address is blindmysmart.com. Again, that's www.blindmysmart.com.
Welcome to, there we go, got the stopwatch. And welcome to Blind Like Me. It's Phil Parr coming into your homes today, hoping that you're having a good day. It is hot in Texas. This is being recorded on this, the 12th of June. And according to the way I see things, it's going to be a hot summer. It's 98 degrees in Lufkin, Texas right now. Fortunately, it's 72 in this room. And my electric meter looks like a slot machine spinning around outside, they say. Anyway, Wendy Rigdon is our guest today, and you're in Dallas, aren't you?
I'm actually in Plano right now.
Plano?
Mm-hmm. North of Dallas.
Which is almost Dallas.
It's, exactly.
It used to be, years ago, it was an independent city, but it's merged almost with a big...
It's still an independent city. It's just so close together that...
Yeah, I think they have it has an independent form of government, independent
mm-hmm.
Plano. Okay, and but you've been traveling around. You're on a little venture, on a little thing.
Well, I went up to Indiana to visit my aunt and also to attend a graduation party
mm-hmm.
for a friend of mine who was graduating from college. So Last week I had been out of town.
Yeah, where is home for you? Where do you
home live? Is actually Fort Worth.
Actually, so you're not far from home.
No.
You'll just catch a cab and go right over there.
Uh-huh.
and you get ready. Fort Worth is a nice town. I don't know how transit and things are, but we'll get into that a little later. What is your level of vision?
I have no vision. I have prosthetics, in fact.
But both prosthetics?
Mm-hmm.
And how long have you been without sight?
For 35 years.
So you were born that way, or you lost your sight?
I was about a year old.
When you lost your sight. So you have no memory of being able to see.
Correct.
You know, I say I can remember things that happened when I was a year and a half old, but I'm not sure I can. They may have been told to me. So, but you do have probably a better concept of colors than someone like me who was just born, you know, completely without sight.
I don't know about that. I don't remember what colors look like. I think of colors as they relate to each other.
Okay, like
from what I've learned. Like I learned red and blue can go together, or, you know, black and white and things like that.
Okay, so for all practical purposes, you've been blind all your life.
Pretty much.
Yeah, and that when you were a child, your parents treated you how? Do you have brothers and sisters? Or do they?
I have one brother who's younger,
and
one sister who's older.
So you're the middle child.
Yes.
Did they let you pretty much do as you pleased? I mean, did they let you run into things?
Yes, they let me do just about everything my brother and sisters did.
Well, that's good. That's the way it should be.
Exactly.
Okay, when they got ready to school you, what decisions did they make? That's always a traumatic thing for...
I started preschool, let's see. I've been mainstream almost my whole life. I think I was in a special kindergarten class very briefly, but then I was mainstream.
Okay.
All my life.
In other words, put in with the other kids.
Correct.
We discuss endlessly whether that's good, bad, or otherwise. But it's people seem to, it seems to have worked out well with some and not so well with others.
Exactly.
But the same criteria applies to kids who are sent to the blind schools.
Exactly.
So you were in public school, and where was all this? Where did all this take place as a child? You're a Fort Worth girl?
We lived in Indiana first.
Really?
And I started, went to a class very briefly there. When I was four, we moved to Virginia. And that's where I really started going to public school.
Uh-huh.
And let's see. Yes?
Yes?
That was mainstream all the way from kindergarten to high school.
Well, that's good. And good childhood? You had fun in childhood? Good school experience? Had friends in school?
Yes.
Did you play an instrument? Did you participate in band or athletics or anything, any of those?
I started playing the violin in sixth grade and did that until ninth grade. And then I was in choir in 12th grade.
Uh-huh.
And continued that later on in college also.
So you had high school friends and you went on dates and you did things just like you were sighted peers or not?
Well, I didn't really date much. I had one boyfriend in the 10th grade, but that was about it. I didn't really date until I was in college. Now, whether that was because of the blindness or just me, I don't know.
Well, like those old pimply-faced high school boys, a little bit of afraid of a blind girl. They don't quite know how to handle it.
Yeah.
That's something different.
That's the impression I got.
They don't really know much how to handle a blind, because most of them at that age can barely string four words together in the first place. And so they'd have a hard time dealing with the... With a blind girl, but other than that, you had girlfriends, and girlfriends in high school are really important.
Exactly.
Dating is important also, but having your girl buddies is.
My best friend lived right across the street from me, so that was great, and we ended up going to the same school for a little bit. She was a year behind me, so.
Oh yeah. Okay.
I think when I was a senior, she was a junior. We were finally in the same school together. So,
And high school, good grades you made. You academically, did you do well?
Yes, I did pretty good. I don't remember my grade point average, but I did have, let's see, I did take two advanced placement classes, English and French. I'm very good at language, English and everything. Math, so good.
Yeah.
But English, French, then science, I'm okay, and then math, just forget it. It's bad.
It's
not pretty.
You don't do math.
No, math is bad.
Math is dead.
Math is bad.
I wouldn't go that far. For you, maybe, but you did well in high school, and you were as a 16, 17-year-old young lady, what did you think? You were blind, and it was going to be that way. What were your thoughts? What did you think you might be able to do to make yourself a living as an adult?
What I wanted to do was become a language interpreter, originally. And I even went into college, and my major was Spanish to start with.
And so you, like maybe for the UN or for some government agency or something?
Yes. I was thinking, you know, in terms of that sort of thing. I really hadn't thought that far ahead yet. I thought I'd get through the degree first.
Yeah.
And then, you know, look for a job. It turned out that the college I went to did not have a good Spanish language program. It was all, they taught you the basic language, and then they wanted you to read literature. As one of the advisors put it, it's really a Spanish literature degree. So that didn't work out so good.
So they wanted you to learn the language and then read literature in that language. Which
and
would be hard for a blind girl to do.
Well, not just a blind girl. It was, you know, I knew when I got up in the high levels and the native Spanish speakers who took the classes thinking they were going to be an easy credit, when they were having trouble, I knew I was in big trouble.
Yeah, because you had to learn the language.
Because I had only, you know, just learned the language and I was having trouble. And, you know, they're native speakers and they're reading this stuff going, geez, it's hard. I knew I was in big trouble.
And then so you changed colleges. You decided to...
I changed degrees.
Oh, degrees. Okay.
I then tried sociology, and that didn't work. I didn't like it because they had all these rules. This applies now except when, and then they had all these exceptions. You know, this sociological principle applies here except when the moon is full on a Thursday and...
Yeah.
There's, you know, clouds in the sky. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
It really did not make much sense to me. So I switched one more time to speech communication. And that was wonderful because I started reading the books and realizing that these things applied to everyday life and you could actually see them working. And it was just a lot more practical.
Well, what did you think you'd do with a degree in speech communications?
Well,
didn't know. Huh?
I didn't really know.
I guess maybe it wasn't necessary to know. You just
exactly. At that point, I didn't really know, and it turns out that it can apply to just about anything that you do.
Well, besides that, you found something you liked and could excel at, and so away we go. Speech.
I was just thrilled to finally be getting on with it.
I don't know that I know what speech and communications as something taught in college would be. It wasn't radio, television. It was public speaking. It was debate. It was.
It's basically
a little better.
How people interact verbally. It's how they communicate, and it covers one-on-one. It covers small groups, large organizations, and also public speaking.
Yeah.
So all of those areas.
So, yeah, it did apply to everyday life.
Mm-hmm.
And I would think for a blind person could be a very important thing to know something about.
Yes.
It has
helped a lot.
Whether you could make a living doing it, I have no idea. Did they teach you how to do radio shows with old men?
No, they didn't.
They didn't have that.
I learned how to talk to people on the phone, so... You know.
Yeah, you do well. You articulate well. So you got a degree in this speech communication.
Correct.
Okay, a little 4-year degree, or did you go ahead?
It was a Bachelor of Arts.
Okay, all right. And then did you start job seeking at that time?
I did. I came back home to Plano and started looking for a job. It took me 9 months to find one, but I did. Working in customer service at a wholesale jewelry supply,
in
all things.
In customer service?
Mm-hmm.
As in taking orders, as
yes.
in, okay.
I took orders. I assembled jewelry. I made boxes for the mailroom. It was a very small company, so everybody kind of did a lot of different things. And I answered phones and took messages, and I was basically the voicemail system. We didn't have voicemail, so whoever was on customer service had to double duty as a message taking and transferring calls.
At that time.
Mm-hmm.
But you might take an order and then you might assemble that order.
I wouldn't assemble it because that required sight. You had to be able to pull the different things out of, and it was just too hard to do by feel. There's too many small, tiny pieces and different color, gold, white and yellow, and platinum and things like that. But I would, sometimes we sold, let's say, earring backs and posts together as a set.
Okay.
I would put them together. So I would do that kind of thing.
Okay. So you say small company, so you did all sorts of all sorts of things and to fit in. Was this owned by somebody you knew, or did you just find this on your own?
I found it on my own.
Really? You got somebody to hire you?
I did.
That's always good.
Luckily, their supervisor was the same age as me, so was basically, you know, a little more open-minded than, say, somebody that had never worked with a blind person.
Yeah.
And I was lucky enough they gave me a chance, and I worked for them for, almost 3 years.
Yeah. What age are we at now in your life? Where are we in
I graduated college when I was 24.
So you're about 27, 28 now when this...
Let's see. How old was I? Let's see. I was actually 26 when I got the job, and then I worked there until
3 years? Yeah, did the company fold, or did you...
No, I got married, and I moved to Fort Worth. It was too far away to keep commuting.
Yeah.
As the company was in, it was in Carrollton, I think.
But this job would never have been any more than what it was. I mean, there was no way to move up a corporate ladder or to be...
Right.
...to do anything else. So it was probably time to go do something else.
It was, really. That was a combination of... I got married, and I really needed to go somewhere where I could advance more.
Yeah, so what did you do? You quit the job and began...
And then I applied at Alcon Laboratories because an acquaintance of mine who worked there already told me that they had an opening.
Uh-huh.
And so
what do they do? What is...
Alcon Laboratories makes contact lens cleaning solutions and eye medications as well as surgical instruments for eyes.
What a good job for a blind person.
I know. It's very ironic, actually, because my brother sees the irony in it that I'm working for a eye care company when I don't even have eyes. So.
I think that's... I see the irony there. I like it. Did you get the job? Did you get a job there?
I did get the job.
Really? Very good.
Yes. I was very lucky I got the job, and I work on the switchboard. There's four of us that work there. It's the world headquarters, so they keep us hopping.
Oh, you are still with this company?
I am still with them right now.
You did not go back to college, nor did you get any further education?
No, I did not.
You got this job, and you stayed with it?
I did.
You've been there 5 or 6 years now, according to...
I have. I've been there since 98. And
this sort of ties in with your degree, really, you know, when you think about it.
It does, in a way. I mean, because, I mean, communicating with people every day, that's really the flexibility of my degree. You can apply it to any job, basically, that uses any job that requires you to interact with people, that is.
So you've had the two jobs, both of which you found on your own.
Mm-hmm.
You got some sighted person to say, well, This is a blind lady who is bright and intelligent and outgoing and can probably do my job. I think I'll give her a chance.
Yes.
Which is, to me, is great. You know, it's okay to find a job that your brother-in-law owns a company and you go to work answering his telephone, but it's even more of a challenge to walk into an interview with somebody you don't know and convince them that a blind person can do the job they're offering to the world.
Exactly.
I applaud you for that. So you've had the two jobs, and this one is pretty satisfying. You think you're going to stay?
Yes. It pays well. It's got good benefits. And so I'm going to stay with it for at least a few more years.
I think I might.
Yeah.
That would be good. Well, what are some of your other interests? What, besides working and those kind of things, what are your hobbies? What do you like to do for fun?
Oh, I love email. I love to read. Listen to music. I love to talk on the phone. The internet has really opened up a lot of. I made a lot of friends around the world, so I spend a lot of time calling people and talking on text chat programs such as MSN Messenger. And email, of course. Let's see, what else?
Well, the internet and computers have opened up such a world, a wonderful. Of course, it hasn't, by any stretch of the imagination, leveled the playing field, but it sure made being blind a lot more fun.
It sure has.
If that isn't a stupid thing, a silly thing to say, it really has.
You can shop online, order things online. There's just so much more we can do. I can do all my banking online, pay all my bills. I don't have to worry about getting something to the mailbox, buying stamps. It's just really... It's gotten a lot easier.
I'm married, and there's always someone at my house. My wife is here all the time, so I'm no longer in a period of my life when I might have the potential to be lonely or by myself and time to feel sorry for myself on Saturday night because I'm blind and I can't go anywhere. Even if I was, with the internet now and all the chat rooms we have and the places we have to go, there's always somebody to talk to.
That's true. You can talk to people. I have my choice of text chat, or I have a telephony program on the computer. I can voice chat, or I can just pick up the phone.
Well, and then there's the chat people, the VIP.
Yes, I've heard of that. I haven't tried it yet, but I've heard of it.
Well, it's pretty neat. I was there till about 1:30 this morning, talking to a whole gang of people who. Basically, are traveling through life as blind people, and we didn't talk about that. We talked about all kinds of things, but there were I was about 11:30 last night, and I just logged in, and here was a room had five or six people in, three or four of people I knew that I had chatted with before, and it was just really like
That's
I
wonderful.
Said, I was on till 1:30 this morning. I don't know what we talked about. It's kind of like the old CB days, and you might not have gotten into that, but. We had, back in the 70s, citizen band radios were big, and we'd all...
Oh, yeah, I remember them.
We'd all get together and chat on those. Well, it sounds like life is going well for you. And,
it is.
I'm going to run your friend Philip Blankenship this week.
Oh, wonderful.
And maybe next week we'll put something with this and put you on. Wendy, thank you, ma'am. And,
you're welcome.
You have a good vacation, and we'll look forward, and I'll be in touch.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Wendy.
Blind Like Me list that I'll never forget.
Blind, crazy people on that Blind Like Me list just talk about the silliest thing.
To join the Blind Like Me list, send a blank email to blindlikeme-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. That's blindlikeme-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
Okay, I love being on the Blind Like Me list because I'm the moderator, and I get to delete people if I want to.
If you enjoy chatting with other blind folks, come join us on the Blind Like Me list. Send a blank email to blindlikeme-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. A trip to Walmart.
I wonder where the pharmacy is. It's somewhere over here. Oh, God, I've got my cane caught in something.
Pardon me, sir. I don't know how to tell you this, but the end of your cane is stuck in my...
Why bother shopping the big discount stores when you can shop from the comfort of your own home at BlindMySmart.com.
Hi, this is Dale Campbell, president of Blind My Smart. If you can't find what you're looking for today, check back tomorrow. We're adding new products every day.
Blind My Smart, with thousands of products at a completely accessible website. Our address is blindmysmart.com. Again, that's www.blindmysmart.com.
Well, a couple of folks there. We hope we're interesting to you. I enjoyed both of them. Wendy Rigdon, she's quite a lady. And the first fellow we had on, starting the new organization for blind African Americans. We'll have more information. Try to get a hold of the president of that and tell you more about that as we go. Let me remind you that coming up in November, November 3rd is a Friday, 4th is a Saturday, 5th is a Sunday, the 6th is a Monday of this year, 2006. We are having a gathering in Houston, Texas of blind people, listeners to these shows, The Blind Handyman and Blind Like Me, and you're invited if you'd like to come. The registration fee is $25 per person, $50 a couple. The rooms are $72 plus tax. And we're coming in Friday. Shuttle, it's at Sheridan JFK is where it is. And I'd be glad to send you the information about the gathering. We promise no motivational speakers to make you feel like your life has been a waste of time. And you won't learn anything, but you will meet some really nice folks that you'll enjoy meeting. I guarantee you that. That's about all we can guarantee you. We're going to have a good time. We want you to come. If you'd like to, email me and I'll send you the information about everything. My email address is phil@philparr.net. phil@philparr.net. I'll send you the information about the Houston gathering. We'd love to have you come. There's a shuttle from the airport, from the big airport in Houston, to the Sheridan JFK. It's free of charge. We'll take you there and bring you back. There are several restaurants in this hotel. I think three restaurants in this hotel, plus a sports bar, plus an indoor and outdoor pool, which in Texas means a lot. The outdoor pool will be open in November. We're just going to have a good time, play a lot of music, do a couple of radio shows, and visit with each other. Come see us, phil@philparr.net. We'll send you the information. Thanks for listening. See you next week for more of our show called Blind Like Me. Bye-bye. We'll be right back.